And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Woo! Big D and Bubba, the podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Big D and Bubba, the podcast.
Hello. Oh, yeah.
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits.
You name it!
You name it!
All right, so a lot can go wrong in 20 minutes. If you don't know, your car's engine is no different. And if you didn't know, up to 75% of engine wear actually happens during warm-up. But Castrol GTX Magnatec has intelligent molecules that actually cling to your engine like a magnet, and it provides you instant protection from the moment you start. Patrick's over there with a fidget spinner. Hi, Patrick.
With your fidget spinner. And it's got lights on it.
Hi, everyone. There's that's Carson over there. She has a fidget spinner too.
Spinning.
Spinning. Pretty sweet.
That one's off. I don't know why that's
Do you want me to move?
No, it's good. It's on now.
Okay.
CBS sent those to us for what? Why?
Their comedy lineup begins September 25th.
So what does that have to do with fidget spinners?
Yeah, nothing really, other than to make us talk about it.
Yeah.
That's cool. Those are big time fidgets. You got the ones that light up.
I know.
That's legit.
Mm-hmm.
Legit.
I feel
and
fancy.
Then, I am currently cutting out still the photos of our 17 listeners to put on our 17 listener tree, and I'm getting a little help from Park Ranger Katie May. Hi, Katie.
Hold on. We'll put her over there. There we go. Now you can talk. People will be able to hear you. What's that?
Yeah, you don't need to hear. You're good.
No, you're
okay.
Fine. Hi. So Katie is the guest on our podcast, and I've never met Katie. She's friends with Bubba, and but you're a park ranger.
Yeah, a seasonal national park ranger.
A seasonal national park ranger. Does that mean part-time?
Pretty much. Seasonal work, so it's 6 months out of the year. If you think about it, most visitation happens in the parks in the summertime.
So right.
That's when they need the most people.
And you bounce around to different parks?
Correct. Yeah, I've worked at Mesa Verde National Park in Colorado for 5 seasons, Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming for
what do you
two.
Think
two.
Is Yellowstone? Yeah, yeah.
You brought up Yellowstone. You know where we're going.
Stop
you know
it.
Exactly what we're talking about now.
Hang on. So how many more was it this weekend we think it's going to blow up?
Well, this was one because of Planet X and the proximity of Planet X, which is interesting because we've been getting all these earthquakes and everything, which has been playing into the end of the world scenario where everybody's like, look, the earthquakes, it's because of the gravitational pull from Planet X and, oh, the world's going to end this weekend.
Is she supposed to answer that? I don't know.
Is the world going to end? You want me to answer that?
Well, mm-hmm. that's what we're hearing.
Well, as a non-scientist, I'm going to have to say no, but I don't know. Yellowstone's been supposed to erupt for years now. It was supposed to erupt when my family visited in 2009.
I won't
then,
go.
And then when
isn't
I
that crazy?
There,
I
go?
Will. I won't go.
Really?
I've never been to Yellowstone, and I won't go. And Carson's freaked out over there. Big D's known this about me forever.
But
what?
Do you know the story? I mean,
yeah, like the fault lines and everything.
No. Yellowstone sits on basically Yellowstone. What makes it work is the fact that it's a volcano. It's the top of a giant super volcano. There's like two in the world. There's one here, and there's the one that is in the caldera in Italy. And those two, if either one of them goes off, it is a it's a country killer. It's not a city killer. It's a country killer.
Right, but it's not like it's surprise volcano.
No, that's how surprise volcano
no,
works.
But they don't have surprise volcanoes. Like, there's tremors. There's seismic activity. Yes. Even when you go back to ancient Rome and Pompeii.
You mean like what's going on right now?
The city was shaking for months.
That's what's going on.
Okay, but to say that like he won't visit ever or he's never visited ever, like,
Katie,
you would have had a little heads up.
Like, what are they seeing? Do you keep up with the latest is
like the geologist
with the park.
Or
well, there earthquakes happen all the time over there because of things that are moving underneath, but they're always like 3 on the Richter scale or smaller. They're not, there may be earthquakes to other places of the world, but it's not coming out of the super volcano right now in Yellowstone,
right? But one day it will,
maybe It actually doesn't seem to be that way.
I saw a thing the other day on the internet. Yes,
on
the internet.
Oh, great. Great.
Stop before you guys judge me.
Yeah, by the way, the internet is normally right.
The internet, there is truth. There is truth out there.
It is. I'm not joking. Okay. Normally, the internet is right.
So I saw this thing on the internet that we are, I think NASA is going to try to drill into Yellowstone to try to alleviate some of the pressure so it doesn't explode. Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, why, if we're in this safe zone, why would you want to even mess with
because they know
pressure?
It's not safe.
Because look, I saw Deepwater Horizon. I know what the Earth can do. It's not safe.
Gonna blow. It's going to blow and it's going to be bad.
I mean, I saw Armageddon. Is that what's happening this weekend?
I don't know.
You know.
I don't know.
Has anybody called Bruce Willis?
No. You can save joke. Us. You joke right now. But at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Like,
is this supposed to be 5 o'clock tomorrow morning?
I don't know.
I'm okay with it because we all go together. It's not like I'll be missing out on anything because everybody else is gone too. You know.
Yeah, but you don't get to live your life.
Right, but nobody else does either. So there's no FOMO.
What we're learning is Carson doesn't really care as long as her FOMO doesn't kick in. Okay?
So, like, what do you want to do before the world ends tomorrow?
I mean, if they want to get me the, I want to watch the rest of Outlander. So if they can hurry up those DVDs to me, that would really be all I would care about. I just want to see how it ends.
So really, honestly, if the end of the world was this weekend, the thing you care about is the
TV show.
I mean, really,
I need to see Claire and Jamie get back together.
I used to have this anxiety that I wouldn't live to see the reboot of Star Wars. Like, I was like, you know, it would really suck if I died before The Force Awakens came out.
I really had
anxiety about that. I was so bummed.
My grandfather was a huge fan of The Sopranos, and it bothered me that he died before the end of the series. I thought he really got a raw deal on that. And then the finale came out, and people were kind of angry about it, and I said, well, maybe it's for the best. Like, you know, maybe he wouldn't have liked it, so. But I did. I felt bad because he loved the show so much.
Kenny, what are you doing before the end of the world? What do you want to do?
Probably go home and see family.
That's stupid.
I'll be sweet.
That was way too
I'll be
nice.
Sweet.
That
nice.
Was really
yeah.
way too nice.
Family.
Okay, can I eat a whole cake?
There you go.
Yeah. I know, mine involved pasta. Yeah. Oh, I know, I was thinking like a big old ball of pasta.
I've had a couple.
Patrick, what are you going to do?
A couple cakes.
I'm going to hang out with my daughter. So that's about, I suppose that's the nice
That's
answer.
Actually the good, responsible, great dad thing.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, think I'm going to jump off the diet bandwagon. I've been good for 2.5 weeks now, Big D. You're always like, you jump on and off this thing. I am going to jump off the diet bandwagon tonight because, again, if the world ends, I don't want to have any regrets and go, man, I should have had dessert. I'm actually going to go out tonight. We have a
you
date night.
You will find any excuse to ditch your
Bubba
diet.
Bubba will find any excuse to cheat on his diet.
I love it so much, though, because it's how I want to live. Like, Bubba's like, oh,
y'all,
it's
don't
Wednesday?
Judge me.
Yeah.
I haven't cheated in over like 191 days or something like that. I may be off by a day or two. Bubba cheats every weekend.
I'm just telling you right now, go ahead and have the cake. You don't want to have any kind of remorse.
You make fun of me for saying I want to watch the end of Outlander before the world ends. But your last thought is going to be about cake.
I am going to eat dinner tonight with my wife. We have a date night tonight and tomorrow if the world doesn't end. We have two date nights this week. How crazy is that? But I'm going tonight and I'm going to order. They're going to say, oh, what can I do for you, sir? Would you like some French fries or onion rings or something to get started? I'm going to go, yes, I would like your best dessert. And I'm going to order dessert first because, again, no regrets.
Yeah. YOLO.
YOLO.
Not even one letter. people asking on text messaging, something I pulled apart, I pulled to the side. Hey, guys, enjoy the show. Did I miss the interview with James Vanderbeek? Yeah, I guess you did.
Yeah, you did.
I guess you did. Katie Carson went to school with James Vanderbeek. Do you know who that is?
Do you know who he is?
I'm going to say no, but I don't know what a lot of people are thinking.
To some younger people this week.
You don't have to justify that.
I did listen to those podcasts, though.
Well, James Vanderbeek.
I know how you feel.
Okay, so he's the guy from Varsity Blues. Everybody says Dawson's Creek. I was never into Dawson's Creek, but Varsity Blues was the high school football movie.
And so we tricked Carson this week, and she thought that we were going to have him on the show, and she was going to have to talk to him, because she's been talking smack about him for so long. And so she was scared that she was going to have to actually talk to him, and that's going to be awkward. And Carson does. Carson talks the big game, but she does not like confrontation.
All bark, no bites,
none, zero.
But she's great on Twitter.
She's one of those dogs. She's one of those dogs when you see them and they're like their tongues hanging out. That's her. There's no teeth to hold that tongue.
Really.
And so we told her. We said, listen, you don't know when. You don't know what day, but James Vanderbeek will be on the show. And that way you can't call in sick or whatever. So we called her in on the show to talk about something. She thought it was something else.
The end of the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were going to talk about the end of the world.
And
yeah. Oh, for you, it was comes close. In
and we have our bud, John, who's playing the part of James Vanderbeek on the hotline. And so she comes in and we're like, all right, well, you know him from... Dawson's Creek and
oh god, when if you could, can we recreate
the moment?
Oh no, because it was all. I mean, people listening won't get it. It was all visual, but she's standing right where she's sitting now. And when you said, "Well, you know him for," she goes,
she took her headphones off and back up.
Pulls her headphones off and starts going toward the door. I'm positioned by the door to stop her going.
He's the bouncer.
Like the bouncer.
Yes, yes.
So she pretty quickly realized it was not the real James Vanderbeek because the hair on her arms didn't stand up.
Yeah.
The best relief, right, ever?
It really was.
Find out that was just a joke.
My stomach was in knots for about 24 hours, even though my entire hometown was rallied around me going like, yes, you give it to him, because I am not the only one who talks smack about him. But it really was like when I figured out that it was fake and you guys were like, no, he's not going to be on. It was just oh my gosh. Like, it was like, I just had about 16,000 massages at once. I was so relaxed and chill. Like, everything's cool now. Everything's good. We good.
So, Katie, when you started in as a
park ranger,
were you the one who goes around to campsites and checks on fires and gives tours?
What does your job
kids?
Entail? What do you do?
Well, with the National Park Service, the jobs are kind of more split apart than you say maybe at a state park. There is rangers that kind of enforce the rules. They're the law enforcement, like police.
Like the cops.
Pretty much. I'm what's called an interpretive park ranger. My job is to interpret whatever it is you're looking at to help you connect with it more.
So you tell people what they're looking at?
A little bit, yeah.
Like that kind of tree is this.
This is this tree.
If you touch this, you die and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, don't stick your finger in
that. Is there really a problem with like people taking selfies and falling and dying? Because I've heard like there's been a rash of people at national parks getting too close to cliffs and things.
Well, when you get there, people are kind of awed and amazed by things. You want to document, you want to share it with everybody, kind of like what we're doing right now, sharing a Facebook Live and a podcast. And then you kind of seem to forget everything else. And you don't seem to realize that there is a danger towards walking towards some of those animals.
There's a cliff just a couple inches away.
Or there's some really hot water that could lose your skin too.
And like the Yellowstone thing, it actually cooks people almost instantly. And
the hot springs there. Some of them can, yes. And some of them have.
That's terrible.
You know, I used to live in...
You know what's under that? It's a volcano.
I used to live in Montana, Katie, and so I go up to Glacier National Park, and I love that area. I love that range, and the Beartooths and the Red Lodge in that area. Did you spend much time there?
I did a little bit up in the northern part of Yellowstone. But you're kind of used to growing up around bears and things like that?
What?
Are you used to growing up around bears?
No, I'm from Cookeville, Tennessee. No. I'm not, no.
Well, you spent time up in Montana is what you're saying.
Yeah, but I didn't see I didn't hang out with bears. There weren't many bears there. I mean, there were, but we didn't go hang with bears. But it was just, I just love that part of the country. I just never really got it. Here's my thing with Yellowstone. I think Yellowstone is
it's beautiful. It's magnificent.
No, I don't even think it's beautiful. I think it's just kind of weird.
I think it's awesome.
It's like
You've never been.
It's no, like, I've seen it in pictures. I go and I do live videos, and I'll, anytime somebody's like when Periscope was a big thing, I would go and you could see people doing their live stream from there. Yeah. I would go and watch, and I'd be like in amazement. Wow, this place is absolutely stunning.
Wow, it's amazing people, they have cell phone service there.
You people are all about to be vaporized. That's what I would think the whole time.
Anyway, well, hopefully the world doesn't end tomorrow. There's a lot of... a lot of people think something's going on and something's going
to
happen.
I don't think anything's going
to
happen.
From a biblical standpoint to space, and I don't know, man. My point is that if you think if someone tells you that they know the end of the world is coming, then they don't know because no one knows, right?
Unless they know.
Yeah,
I mean, there might be somebody. There might be a scientist who knows that Planet X really does exist.
No, it doesn't.
How do you know? How do you know if a scientist knows?
I'm just saying, there'd be somebody out there, you know.
There'd be some sort of corroboration. I don't think like one dude just figured out this amazing.
Katie, you ever been out in the one of the parks at night or even during the day, and you see a UFO?
I have not.
Okay. Well, Katie, thanks for coming by.
No, sorry.
That's pretty much where we
I'm
checked
sorry.
Out.
No, I did listen to your guys' podcast, Unacknowledged, but I have not experienced that
have
yet.
Have you watched Unacknowledged yet?
No, because I don't have internet or cell phone service in parks.
Oh,
so now that I'm back in the real world,
you know, what
I can
you
catch
need,
up on things.
What you need to do is download, because you can set it to where you download the shows on there. I used to go and my favorite thing was I would go out into the desert, lay down on the hood of my truck or in the bed of my truck, and I had night vision goggles, and I'd put those on and just stare at the sky. And you don't know how much stuff is zipping through our atmosphere until you put your night vision on. You put your NVGs and you're like, what the heck is this? It's awesome. It's like a fireworks show.
Yeah.
It's the best ever.
What kind do you still have them?
I don't know where they're at.
They
were first gen.
The Russian ones?
Yeah. They were cool.
Yeah, they're not great.
Yeah, they're not great.
But yeah,
they did the job for what I needed.
Yeah.
I've got those, and I got some of the monoculars and some other things, but I don't know where they're at. I moved a couple years ago, and then they were in some box somewhere, and I don't know.
Gone. Hey, have you shown our tree yet?
No, I haven't because we don't have the pictures up yet.
Yeah, well, that's the tree, and our tree is not a Christmas tree yet. Right now, it is a 17 listeners tree.
It's not even it's just a tree right now.
Yeah, we're in the middle of putting these pictures up. And by the way, if you
bunches
have not
bunches of pictures, yeah, 17 of them.
If you haven't texted your picture to us, please do to 1-800-667-8686. You can just text it straight from your phone, 1-800-667-8686. And we'll get them, and we're trying to put on as many as we can.
You know what we didn't do? We didn't print out a bunch of number 17s like we were talking about.
We'll do that. And then at the end of the month, it'll turn into a Halloween tree, which Carson is very excited about.
So stoked.
Pretty much take care of that for us, I think. I'm counting
I have
on
strobe
that.
Lights that are motion activated.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do they
so
make
I'm gonna
noise?
Put them on. You can turn off the noise.
Yeah, I don't want the
noise.
So
that way you don't have the noise.
Wait, like white, like strobes?
Yeah, like, well, they're.
We're going to want.
We can make the whole room
well, we
look
can,
haunted.
Right. Like, we don't have
that's
to
really
turn
creepy,
on this.
Weird.
Well, which is Halloween. Why I have them. But yeah, I've got lots. I've got tons of Halloween decorations. So I will be all in with that.
Is that your favorite?
Yeah. Halloween and Christmas. Absolutely.
Because they're so alike.
Well, I like doing things a little bit over the top, and both holidays afford me that opportunity. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And then after that, it'll be a Thanksgiving tree.
And we get to do the hand turkeys again.
hand turkeys.
And then, of course, then we barrel on into Christmas, and we'll make it a Christmas tree.
And then it comes down probably around February.
We're going to do a Mardi Gras. What time is Mardi Gras this year?
Usually end of February, early March.
Yeah.
So...
We can do a Valentine's tree. We can do a Mardi Gras tree. We can do a St. Patrick's tree. You can do an Easter tree. I've done all this.
Last year we contemplated it because remember we left up the tree until probably the last week of January. And we were like, it loses its specialness if it stays up all year. Like it's special right now.
Yeah. It's not. You know why? Because it's September.
It's awesome. I think it looks great in here.
It looks ridiculous.
It warms things up.
And we're
going
to get more lights on it. We couldn't, early this morning, whenever Patrick went out to go get lights, we couldn't get any because nobody had them. All they have are the purple ones, which are cool. Don't get me wrong. They're great purple lights.
I really
kind
of like the purple lights.
I know you do. Mm. And I think they're fantastic.
It needs about three times as many.
Yeah. We'll fix that.
Yeah.
We'll fix that.
So anyway, if you send your pictures in if you haven't done that yet. Hey, let me ask you guys this. I've already seen It, the movie It,
mm-hmm.
and I want to take Zach, he's 17, my oldest son,
to go see It?
Yeah, and I want to take Gunnar, because Gunnar's kind of one of those, he's kind of like, I don't want to say that. I'm like, dude, come on, you got to go see it. He kind of wants to, because it's, you know, it's that.
Well, I kind of want to do anything, but I'm not also stupid. I don't want to go see anything that's going to make me afraid to walk through my house, and I've talked to that before.
It's
not that bad.
I thought it was going to be worse than it was. I think I'd psyched myself out over it. It's not. There's a couple of like jump scares.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's
not. It's not that bad.
No. Mm-mm.
No,
it's just more a compelling story, really.
I really thought it was.
No desire to see.
It was a great mix of like. It was kind of like a ramped up Stranger Things, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was those kids are involved,
like
and
the Stand By Me kind of vibe, and yet there's supernatural evil clown.
All the kids have their own real distinct personalities, mm-hmm. and you kind of know all the stuff. I thought the story was really good. I love that type of story.
How crazy is it too? If you like the amount of child actors that are so good right now. Like the Stranger Things kids and the kids in It, and then even you look at sitcoms now. And there's like 12-year-olds on there, and I go, how are you that good?
They're really good.
You know, acting, like, where are they coming from?
The acting is really good in It. I thought it was really well done. And the movie, it is creepy. The first 5 minutes of It, that was you'll be shell-shocked because you're just kind of like, wow.
So is the first 5 minutes, did they really like, blow everything all in the beginning? I mean,
no.
But it's
because
so
you guys, it starts fast.
You guys have all said that over and over the first five minutes.
The book starts that way. It opens up.
It's how the book starts.
It opens up really mm-hmm. quick. It doesn't take long to establish what's going on.
Yeah, it's not like Pet Sematary, you know, another Stephen King book where you really get probably a couple of chapters of atmosphere before things start going weird. This is bam, all in.
Okay.
With It, Pennywise.
Well, I think I'm going to go see that tonight.
Okay. Date movie.
I'll see you there.
Yeah, yes. Right.
Don't go in until I'm there.
So when I went to go see It, the woman sitting like two seats down from me, she's on her phone.
Like,
with the bright screen and the whole thing.
Like
and
talking or
no,
just
like
texting?
She's going through Facebook. I can see. She's on her Facebook page.
Now, is it during the trailers or during
the
movie?
No, this was the movie.
Oh, no.
And we were talking about
the last half hour.
We were talking about how sad it was that little girl got hit by the baseball the other day. But that kind of thing, you know, they didn't have nets up at baseball games all the way to the end of the dugout. In most stadiums, that's how it is now. When we were kids, forever, they didn't have it that way.
Nope.
You know what? People showed up, and they watched the game, and they were alert. Oh, here comes a foul ball. Most people had gloves, especially kids. You remember going to a baseball game when you were young? You brought your glove.
Yeah, always.
You know?
And
now,
that's true. People attend the game. They go
they
to the game.
It.
They don't watch
They're
it.
On their phone. They're not paying attention. So, yeah, you can get hit in the head by a foul ball real easy. I remember being at baseball games watching intently and thinking the whole time, if that foul ball comes over here,
I got this.
I'm going to get it.
On know? It.
And now, nobody. Go to a baseball game. Go to a concert. Go to, and now, like you said, even a movie. You know, people are just.
Well, the guy I was with, all of a sudden, he does not care. And he, put your phone down. I'm like,
good.
We're gonna die. Oh, he's yelling at the teenagers behind us.
Is that somebody you're dating?
Oh,
or whatever.
No.
I was gonna say he's a keeper.
He and I have similar tastes in romantic partners. So no.
I just got that.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I want to talk about that some people don't know what you're talking about, the ball game.
Yeah, I don't even know what game it was. I just
the
saw
Yankees,
the it was
Yankees
you know
game.
And like so I noticed a minor league game I was at earlier this year that the year before the nets went to...
Well, explain what happened.
Oh, it was, somebody got hit by a foul ball.
A little girl.
A little girl got hit by a foul ball. And again, I mean, it's a kid, but I don't blame the kid, but why didn't her... You know, I go to games with my daughter, and I always make sure I'm watching. Because if a ball comes near us, I'm at least going to get in front of it. You know, I'm not going to let
it hit
her.
I think, you know, that's saying a lot. I
know, but what I'm saying is nobody's paying attention. You're not paying attention. You know, I'm not blaming the kid or even the parents. I'm saying this didn't used to happen like this. It didn't. We didn't have nets that went all the way to the end of the dugout.
Well, obviously it did used to happen because they started putting nets up.
Well, it started happening more in the last 10 years.
But I'm saying the nets were up before cell phones.
The nets were up right behind. The nets used to literally just be in places where you couldn't react. If a foul tip comes right over the, you know, the catcher's right shoulder and goes into the, you know, in the seats right behind home plate, yeah, you can't react fast enough. So that's why the net's always been there. But the net didn't go past about halfway down the first and third base lines because that ball's going to take at least a few seconds. People will have time to move, to react, to catch it, to, you know, get out of its way, whatever. Now, nobody's paying attention. They're not. They're just not looking.
Yeah, they're on their phone.
There's a freaking baseball game going on 50 feet in front of your face, and you're not paying attention.
Well, that's because their back is actually to the game, and they're like this. They're going, get the selfie with the field behind them.
They're sitting there looking at Facebook. I remember being at a hockey game last year and seeing the girl in front of me. He was in her mid-20s, and she was taking selfies of herself the entire time. And then flipping through and then editing. I don't think she ever looked up from her screen at the game. She was glued to her phone screen the entire time.
Well, if that's what it takes to sell tickets, sir, they're cool with that.
Well, I mean, that's not why they're selling tickets. You know, these are people who just, again, it's not just baseball. It's not. It's football. It's everything. People
don't
watch.
Yeah, but in football, you're not at risk of getting hammered with a 110-mile-an-hour ball.
If you go to an NHL hockey game, they won't let you go into the arena while the puck is in play.
Right.
Okay? Because if you go down, you're walking down the steps, you're not watching the action. If you're crossing the aisle in front of people, they're getting up and letting you cross. They're not watching the action. And that's a liability that you need to be paying attention because a puck can come up over the net into the stands. Okay, it's rare. It's even more rare in hockey than it is in baseball. In baseball, you know, half of all pitches or a third of all pitches are fouled off. You know, so why we haven't had this problem more is fascinating. But it's because we have the nets going further now. But what are we going to do? Put a net around the entire field? I guarantee you, there've been calls for that already.
That is, you know, I think they're going to extend it down the entire, like to the foul poles. I have
That's
a feeling
crazy.
Before
because you know what your view of it, the game from far away with a net in front of you is terrible. It is. So what's the point?
What's the point?
You know,
I don't know, but it's going to happen.
There's
liability
a
wise,
gotta,
it's going to change.
You know,
change.
You've got to take some responsibility if you're going to be at the game and you're more than a second and a half from the ball traveling to you at top speed. You have to have some responsibility to get out of the way of the dang ball. You know. If you're putting it all the way down the right field line and the left field line, the guy who is right next to the foul post, that ball's going to take 3.5 seconds to get to him at top speed. If you can't move out of the way, that's on you, man. That's not on – it's just crazy. Or, you know, watch the game so you know the ball's coming.
You're crazy.
Katie, is that something you guys find you've had to – I really encourage people to put their phones down when they're in the park and just enjoy it instead of checking their social medias all the time.
Well, many of the parks are such wilderness that you actually don't have service. And so usually people come up and where can I get cell phone service? Where can I make a phone call? Where's the Wi-Fi at? And I think parks are doing more of that nowadays, but you guys kind of answer the same question as to why are people taking selfies with bison or bears or things like that. They're not aware. They're not paying attention.
Remember how many people were dying in India because they were taking selfies with lions or whatever, or tigers? And like,
that was a thing?
That was a thing. There was something like 10 people in 1 year had died from getting attacked because they were taking selfies with tigers.
Well, that's actually good.
Yeah.
I'm saying you're weeding out the dumb people.
Darwism.
Yes.
I just don't understand that, man. If you're, you know, you have to, well, I don't know how long you've been doing it, but there has to have been a change in culture
at the national parks where it's all about selfies now. People used to go with their camera and take a picture of what they could see, of what they saw, to show people what
they
saw.
And then they would show their family from a photo album.
Yeah. Now it's just pictures of you in front of stuff. Like, that wasn't the thing before. I don't know.
Yeah, but we also weren't into ourselves the way we are
now.
Yeah,
we sure love us some us.
We all love us. I mean, as you are listening to this podcast, you're thinking to yourself, I'm going to go take a selfie of me. I would venture to guess that 99% of everyone listening to this podcast right now will take a selfie within the next 48 hours. 99%.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah.
99% will take a selfie in the next 48 hours.
Of some sort, whether it's a Snapchat thing or... Because that counts. I mean, that's the same thing. It is a selfie.
Sure. But still, that's what I'm saying.
99%
in the next
48
hours.
And you said 48 hours? That's a long time, though, so that makes sense to me.
Within 2 days, somebody's going to post something of them at a restaurant or whatever. I promise you, I will take a selfie with my wife at dinner tonight.
I'm taking a selfie right now.
With my dessert. That I ordered first. Patrick's doing it right now with his little glowing thing. There you go.
Fidget spinner.
Now, does it count if you share it? Do you have to share it with somebody on social media?
No, but you're going to take
a selfie.
You're going to take it.
Okay. Who takes a picture of themselves and doesn't share it? That's weirder.
That is pretty weird. Right? I mean, if your phone is full of selfies that you don't post, that's even weirder.
But, you know, what if you think, well, this is a good one. I might save this for later. Did you get your post? You got
I
it?
I did. Yeah, I got it. It was great.
Sitting there watching Patrick. This is weird.
I love watching people's selfie faces. Like, people's selfie faces are the best. Like, you have your go-to thing. And, like, Patrick's is this. Ready, D?
No. That's you not my that. Go-to.
What is it? What
my
is
go-to
it?
Is this.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, that's it. Okay. It's the But always. Definitely the eyes are open and the eyebrows are up. And
yeah, every time.
Like a clown.
Get the angle.
Would you guys pay $50 to go to a class, a 2-hour class, where they teach you how to take the best selfies ever?
No, I don't care.
$50?
$20? Would you pay $20?
I'm not gonna lie. I'd be like, yeah, no. I need this.
$20, Katie.
I need the selfie help.
$20, I'm gonna teach you how to do it in an hour.
No,
I don't think I need assistance with selfies. I think I'm pretty good already.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. You don't know.
That's confidence there.
That's pretty sexy, isn't it?
It was kind of hot. I'm not going to lie. It's like, I think I got it. All right.
I got pretty
Maybe
good selfie skills.
But I was pretty good at it.
I could take selfies. I'm just, you know, the subject matter, the fact that I'm in it is not the good thing. But I can frame a selfie probably better than most people in society. I don't even look at the screen. How many times do we take selfies with listeners and I take the picture and they get mad? Well, no, and I take the picture and it comes out and they're like, oh, that's awesome. Because you gotta know, man. You gotta figure it out. You gotta know where your flash is, when to use your flash, when to use the sun, when not to turn. You know, there's so many things you have to take into consideration. A good selfie is... it's work.
I can't believe we're even having this conversation. As grown men, I feel a little bit ashamed.
We could go back to
about.
Planet X and
let's
the
not talk
caldera.
About that either.
Hey, big shout out to Steve. One of our buds, Steve, he sent me a direct message. And he was like, man, I'm not getting any work done since you guys started your podcast. just not doing a thing.
At least it's Friday, right?
It is Friday, man. I'm pumped because, you know, I've got
survival this weekend.
Survival?
Yeah, you're going to have to survive the...
Oh, no. I got baseball practices. Well, first, I got baseball games. Dude, Gunner's playing this rec league. This rec baseball league in the fall. And people always go, like, all my competitive travel guys, you know, why do you have Gunner doing that? I go, you know why? Because
he's better than your kid.
No. Because it's fun. And he enjoys the game so much when he's doing a little rec team. And like we had a game last night. We played this other team. It was awful. Like Gunner never got a strike. There was nothing he could even hit. It was either over
pitching,
his head.
The pitching was that bad.
In the dirt, way out. I mean, because he knows, it, you know, he's going to go out of this guy in this league. He's like, hey, you know what? If you can get to it, hit it. You know, who cares? It's not like it's a super competitive thing. And I always tell these guys, because he enjoys the game. Your kid is going to get to the age when they start getting into, I don't know, I'm probably maybe a sophomore in high school, junior, whatever. And I don't want him to be burned out.
Yeah,
I don't want him to not like the game anymore. Because when competitive athletics for youth, even soccer, football, basketball, baseball, lacrosse, cross country, swimming, whatever it is, the competitiveness is getting earlier and earlier and earlier. And so these kids are being training better at an earlier age. They're getting individual lessons at an earlier age, or they are having to compete at an earlier age with everyone else who already is doing that. So now they feel the pressure to do it, or the parents feel the pressure that they have to do it. And so they push their kids. And we're seeing a ton of burnout with these kids from a mental standpoint, from a physical standpoint. We're getting lots of injuries. I can't really speak for their other sports, but I know in baseball, we have so much joint injury in youth
repetitive
baseball.
Repetitive stress injury, which was not a problem.
Was not an issue, man. Because when baseball was over, you went and you did the next sport, or you didn't do a sport. You had so much time off. And now it's like, hey, travel ball season's over. Let's go into showcases. Okay, now showcases are over. Now we're going.
Showcases?
Showcases is where you go and you're playing in front of, you know, other coaches for recruitment. Okay, now that's over with. Now we're going to do tryouts for travel ball for next spring. In August, we're trying out
for a spring team.
For a spring team.
That's silly.
It's crazy. And so then we have fall practice. Now, they're not throwing a whole lot. You know, most everyone shut down their arms for that. But you're still going and you're practicing. We're hitting, you know, two or three times a week. You know, workouts, practice. Now you're in the winter. You're still indoor hitting. Then you get into spring. Now it all starts right back up again. It never ended. It's not like it starts back up. It just continues. And so kids are getting hurt. And I know from a personal experience from a kid who had a very serious elbow injury that – well, it wasn't very serious. It became a serious thing. But I know what it's like, man. And for Gunner to be able to even be on the field again is nothing short of a miracle from God. For him to be able to even throw a ball is unbelievable. He's so happy. And he's now getting back into, you know, into the swing of it. Pardon the pun.
I like that.
And it's just... I just really tell parents, man, don't let your kid get burned out, because it's easy to get burned out. They will, and they're just going to be like, hey, it's too much. It's too much like a job. Because when they get in college and they're playing, it is a job. Man, when they're in high school, it's going to be a job.
By the way, college athletes should get paid.
College athletes do get paid. They get free education.
Thank you. Somebody had to jump in and say something to stop Bubba's one-sided argument there.
I love that, though. I think they should. Dude, they have no money for fast food.
People who say that don't think it through. I'm just telling you right now.
I think they can get – here's where I'm coming from. Okay, let's say Gunner gets a scholarship, and say it's in baseball. And they say, listen, it's going to be a full thing. And that's unusual for baseball guys, because most of the money goes to football. So we're going to give you a full everything, 100%. Okay, great. Okay, so now, as an athlete, let's say it's a D1 school. He's going to have morning practices or workouts. Then he's going to go to class. Then he's going to have evening workouts. Then he's going to have film. Then he's got homework, studying. Then now it's 10, 11 o'clock at night. Now he gets up the next day and repeats it. Where does he have time to work and earn money to pay for going out to get pizza?
That's why they need to get paid.
No,
I think there is something.
There should be a stipend, some kind of thing.
While the university is making billions of money on football players. for the most part. The
football program. About the NCAA. That's
making billions. I mean, the NCAA. They're making all this money, and where's it going?
Somebody's fat pockets.
Somebody's driving a Cadillac.
No, here's the problem with it.
I'm thinking Oldsmobile.
There are only a handful of schools who could even begin to afford it, because we always use football as the example, but football is the only sport making money at 95% of Division I schools. Football is the only sport that makes money.
Okay.
The other 5%, the only sports that make money are baseball sometimes. We're talking maybe 20%, maybe 20% of college baseball programs turn a profit. Most of those are in the SEC, or in the Big 12, the ACC. That's it. Basketball is about 60% of those schools turn a profit on men's basketball. That's it. Because of Title IX, which is federal law, this will never happen. People who make it sound like it's simple. Because
people don't know what Title IX is.
Title IX says that you can't give anything to the male sports that you don't give to the female sports. You can't have anything.
Can have boy sports. You have to have the same number of scholarships for boys and girls.
Actually, to be safe, almost every university in Division I has one more scholarship sport for women than they do for men. Most schools have, if they have 9 men scholarship programs for sports, they have 10 for women. They almost all have one more, just to make sure they're overcovered.
Do they all? Almost all of them have one more.
Yeah.
You said it. You said it 4 times in a row.
Explained it.
Yeah, but how many have one
Shut
more
up.
Though?
You really make me want to throw a chair at you.
You're like a caller repeating themselves. Anyway, so
I was explaining what it meant in case people didn't understand.
Okay, so answer me this: why? How come Ole Miss has a women's soccer team but they don't have a male soccer team?
That's why. A lot of universities have something like that where they'll always have one more women's sport than they have men. And remember, there's no women's football, so they're already, most of the other sports, there's a men's and a women's sport. So football is that extra men's sport, so now you got to have 2 sports probably where you have a women's team and not a men's team just to make up for it. And they almost all do it. They have to offer equal number of scholarships. So, yeah, the money, quote-unquote, goes to football. The money comes from football. Football is financing all of these sports.
True.
Like I said, there's a handful of schools where basketball is profitable. There's even small number of schools where men's baseball. And there might be like 5 where women's basketball turns a profit. That's it.
Tennessee, your big UConn, program. UConn,
Baylor, where women's basketball actually
isn't
makes
a
money.
Huge number.
No, it's enough to pay for the coach's salary and some of the assistants. That's it.
Which, by the way, some of those salaries for coaches are out of control.
Well, but you know what? That's where the money – again, the schools that pay the most money for the better coaches make the more money, okay? That's where the money is coming from. They make the more money, Bubba.
You heard him right.
They make the more money.
Yeah, they make the more money.
That's right.
He's like Luigi over here.
They're making the more money. So the reason I don't think you can pay athletes is because as soon as you start paying football players – then you're going to have a problem. You're going to have Title IX lawsuits saying you're not paying the women's basketball players. You're not paying the lacrosse players. You're not paying
soccer.
The soccer players. And you know what? None of these schools can afford to pay everybody. They can't. You can't pay the football players anything you don't pay the women's golf team.
What you do is you say we're not paying anyone, but in reality you pay just the football players.
I mean,
that's what they're doing.
Right,
that's what they're doing now.
And it's going on, and everyone knows it's going on. A handful of places.
I'm telling you right now, it's going on in every program. At
I don't
some
want to
level.
Name schools, but I'm there are small schools where nobody's getting money.
You are insane. It is going on. And it's been going on for decades at all schools, large and small. I don't mean a lot. Some of these places, maybe it's not a lot. You know,
there's no money at some of these places.
But they are getting assistance and a coach saying, hey, here's $20 for
and
your meal.
I don't have a problem with that.
I don't either.
That's coaches get in trouble
again,
with that, though.
But they get part of the rules.
But it has to be because, again, if you don't enforce it, everyone wants to blame the colleges like they're somehow conspiring to do this. No, the federal government caused this with Title IX. And I'm not saying Title IX doesn't have some great qualities to it, but it is, whenever, you know, it's the law of unintended consequences. You make it impossible to do stuff like this, and that's the reason it'll never change. It will never change because no university can afford to pay every scholarship athlete the same stipend, all right? And if you think then only the football players and maybe the basketball players should get money, then think about it. Think that suit is so easy, I could win that lawsuit. Yeah. And I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah. No, you're
right.
You
know, that you'd be in front of a federal appeals court raping the NCAA for millions if they passed a law saying passed an ordinance saying they would pay only the football players. They know they can't do that, and that's why they don't even try. But no one ever brings that up. No one ever mentions that. All these pro pay the college athletes, all they talk about is how much money football makes for the university, how much money the basketball tournament makes for the NCAA, and how the college the athletes don't make anything. They never talk about the reason they can't do it, which is the federal law would force them to pay every scholarship athlete. Can't.
Again,
even the rich schools
50
can't do that.
50 bucks a month so they can get themselves some dollar
tacos. That's not
tacos.
What they're talking about.
I want dollar tacos.
In the I can't think of the documentary, but there's a documentary on Netflix about college sports and how it's such a terrible thing.
I don't know all the schools, but I do know that your larger SEC schools that I can speak for sure about, your larger ones. I'm talking LSU, Florida's, your
Alabama's,
A&M, Georgia's, Vanderbilt's, even Vanderbilt. They have
Stop it.
They have so much that they give those athletes, like food. Like they have their own places they can go eat. They have their own
They used to provide housing. Them with their own dorm, but now so many students don't want to stay on campus. A lot of them choose not to, but they provide all that kind of stuff. Plus, even at a decent state school, you're talking about a $50,000 to $100,000 education.
Yeah.
So,
are you gonna do your joke, or are you just
gonna hold the banana up so the rest of us stare at you?
No, I'm just holding the banana up. This is for the podcast listener. They don't have to hear. They don't have to know what's going on.
The rest of us in the room have to see the dumb banana.
What's wrong with the banana?
It's so dumb.
Katie, I'm sorry you had to see him. Like
what are you
this.
Talking
I apologize,
about?
Katie. You came all the way here so Bubba could hold a banana in front of his phone.
Hi, Katie.
By the way, that's gotten a lot of politicians in trouble.
And Brett Favre, I think, right?
Yeah. No one talks about that
Nobody
anymore.
Talks about that anymore. That kind of went away.
It didn't go away.
I'm going away, too.
Thank
Bye.
God.
Painting a face on a banana.
Dude, I do it for everyone. You know that. I show up to work, and they're usually pre-done, and it's awesome.
How's the tree look?
The tree looks
that looks great.
Yeah, all the 17 listeners here on the tree.
That looks really good. We'll just have to keep adding, I guess, but... That's a good start for sure.
Heck yeah.
Man, that looks really good. It's funny the pictures that people decide to send in.
Oh, somebody sent us their cow.
Yeah, someone sent just a cow. Some people, they sent us with the KISS makeup on and a lot of kids, some soldiers. It's really cool, man. It's really cool. You guys don't realize how much of a family we all are, even though we haven't met each other. You know, most people are really cool. Thank you. We get a couple of butts, but not much. We don't really get a lot of that. You know?
What, like the haters?
Yeah, we just don't.
You know what we do, but whenever we get it, it's not you who's listening to the podcast or watching this on Facebook.
No.
It's not you. The haters are the people like they're like your great grandmother's age, and they're mad because you didn't do an obituary or
you
something.
You get a lot of young social justice warrior hate, too. You get a lot of that, but it's all...
I make fun of that, though.
It's about, on average, 3 to 5 a week, but it doesn't... We don't. We just let it go. But you can't do a show that like this and talk about whatever you want and not offend some. I'm sure I offended somebody by talking about college athletes can't get paid.
You said the word rape, and I was very upset. I was like,
I bet that offended somebody.
That was a poor choice of words.
No, it was an appropriate choice of words. That word has more than one meaning, you know? People are We should ban words. That's a whole nother thing.
Don't even get me started on banning words. I'm like the biggest cheerleader for not banning words. Because what happens is you get replacement words. And then you have to ban the replacement
words. We've done that.
And then we have to add new replacement words. And then we have to ban the replacement words. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And, you know, here's the thing. You don't like the words somebody's using? Walk away. Ignore them. Do whatever.
And just because you're
ban the word. Yeah. And also, you can't judge a word on its own merit. You have to judge it on its intent.
Yeah. No intent. What? That requires people to think.
You're right. You can't ask nobody wants to think. You're right. You're right.
How about the people who get offended? And it's like, so?
Yeah.
I'm offended. Okay. I'm a white guy.
I'm breathing air.
I mean, okay. Well, that's not my fault that you're offended.
Yeah.
No. So, I don't know. It bothers me. I'm offended.
You are offended.
I'm offended by the offendedness.
All right.
Are you offended? I'm offended by that.
I think I'm going to go eat this banana now.
All right.
It is
Katie,
time.
Thank you so much for dropping by.
Is there anything that we need to know, like, you know, because we have you here, we don't really get park rangers in very often. Is there anything that you'd like to tell us and everyone about the system that maybe we didn't know? Or something we should take advantage of that maybe we don't know?
I think you should just take advantage of your parks, and period, because they're ours. They're everyone's.
All of them. Even Yellowstone, except for you guys can have fun at Yellowstone. I'll look at your pictures.
And you know what? If anything happens, I'll warn you beforehand. I'll send you a tweet.
You won't be able to warn me.
I'll send you a tweet.
If you have a signal.
Not Yellowstone.
Not Yellowstone. Thank you, Katie. We appreciate it.
That's awesome. Again, a lot can go wrong in 20 minutes. You could be in a national park and this caldera could go and vaporize you. Well, your car's engine is no different. Up to 75% of engine wear happens during warm-up. Castrol GTX Magnatec has these really cool intelligent molecules. They cling to your engine like a magnet. That's why I call it Magnatec. And it provides you instant protection from the moment you start. Big D, I'm done.
All right, we're all done. Bye, thank you, everybody. Everyone. Thank you.
You're the best.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.